Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So whenever we get to passages about Jesus being the shepherd and us the sheep, that's the part that's easy to understand, right? And that's why the 23rd Psalm is such a favorite. We have a sense of what shepherds do. They guide the sheep. They see to it that they get food and water, that they're kept safe. And it is a comforting thing to consider Jesus as our shepherd, guiding us, seeing to it that we get food and water, that we are also kept safe. So we get Jesus as our shepherd, and we get being his sheep. Yeah, I know that's not the most complimentary image for what we're like, but it's apt enough. We need to be guided, for on our own, we tend to stray and get distracted. We need to be protected, spiritually at least, because we're not very good at self-defense. We need help getting food and water, not necessarily of the material sort, although we always give thanks for the food that is on our table, but we need help with what will spiritually nourish and refresh us, because there is plenty of tempting spiritual junk food out there, and we need to receive what will actually build us up and strengthen us, not what will make us spiritually sick, pudgy, or lazy. We need the Good Shepherd. We need Jesus. So that's all the obvious part. But then we hear Jesus speaking about thieves and robbers trying to get to the sheep by ways other than the door, and we hear Jesus call himself the door of the sheep, and it begins to get a little murky. What's the sheepfold? What's all this going in and out stuff? Who are the strangers that we're supposed to flee from? Well, it turns out this isn't all that difficult either, but we need to start with remembering one stark fact about the difference between a shepherd's interest in the sheep and the robbers. The shepherd wanted to keep the sheep healthy and vital as long as possible because the sheep provided wool, and it was the sale of wool that granted the shepherd his livelihood. The robber, on the other hand, did not want a living sheep. It was much too much trouble. So generally, a thief would slaughter the stolen sheep as quickly as possible, take its hide, sometimes sell the meat. So the interest of the shepherd and the robber in the sheep could not be more different. And then what's going on with the sheepfold and all that? Well, think here of the sheep being confined and then let out to go grazing and have fresh water and the good life. I think it's not doing violence to Jesus' words here to say that he offers being penned up in the sheepfold versus being out to graze and roam as a kind of contrast between the life that we inherit from Adam and Eve and the corruption of sin and the enslavement of our hearts versus the life that we are given in Christ, in which we hear his voice, follow him, and have life in him. So the robbers, the thieves, are those false teachers, those false ideas, those false ways that promise us life and freedom, but which come to us in ways not connected to Christ or his word. And so rather than bringing us life, they can only bring us death. For instance, think of those who would tell you that you can get life and happiness by just doing good. Now, there's a certain appeal to that. We like doing good. We feel good when we do good. But can you ever be sure that you've been good enough? The way of works finally leads to doubt and despair. Another false way that is offered us appeals to the notion that if I just get my head right, you know, I really understand myself and understand the world around me and understand others. If I get that all straight, then I can find happiness and peace with all things. But this is a bit of a dodge too. For no matter what you see or understand, there still is suffering, injustice, and evil in the world, and it will touch you and will touch those you love. Can you ever really be at peace with that, even if you understand it completely? And we could go on down a list here of all the false ideas, false ways of salvation that people have offered, which sadly many pursue, but you get the point. Anyone, any idea that would offer us hope and peace apart from Christ is a deception and finally a way of death. But then comes the Good Shepherd, Jesus. He comes to us. And he doesn't just bring us out of the sheepfold. In the Greek, he tosses us out. As sheep, we're not always quick to do what we should. even when it's best. And so Jesus grabs us and he pulls us out of sin and death and he tosses us into grace and life. And that's a pretty nice image of baptism, by the way, right? In which the waters and the word drowned out the sin and death that we inherited and wash us and make us new and bring us into new life. So Jesus comes to us, he tosses us out of the fold, and then he goes ahead of us so that we might follow him. And this is the life of faith, to follow Jesus, to listen to his voice, to flee from strangers. And the business of following Jesus isn't all that complex. Doing it is another thing, but it's not complicated. Do what you see him doing. Be gentle, be gracious, be kind, be forgiving. Listen to the word. Pray, serve your neighbor, whether at home or in work or in the community or here in church. This is all basic stuff. It's not complex to be a sheep. He's the shepherd who brings us life. We are his sheep who need life and a shepherd. So far, so good. But then we wonder, what's all that got to do with the Paschal or Easter season, since every year we get this good shepherd stuff during the season? Well, that's where the image of Jesus, not just as the shepherd, but also as the door of the sheep, comes to play. Jesus says that if a person enters into life by him, that one will be saved and go out, find pasture, and receive abundant life. Now, just as thieves and robbers want to offer us life by something other than Christ, it turns out you and I, we often seek life by something other than Jesus as well. Some people want meaningful work and success. Some want a happy family. Some want recreation, entertainment. Some want mystic experiences. The list can go on here too. The point is that we are apt to look for what will satisfy us in places other than Jesus. And again, the problem here is that none of that not Jesus stuff can actually save us from sin or death. We cannot cover our sin, no matter how successful we are, no matter how much fun we have, and we cannot escape death, no matter how happy we are. The only way to life, to true life, is through the one who died, and behold, he lives, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who can and does lead us from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from darkness to light. He is the door because he has paved the way. He has overcome all, and in him is life. And this abundant life that he gives us is his own life. And I spoke of following him earlier. Well, here we have much the same idea. He gives us life, not simply the biological kind of life. He gives us a particular form of life, a life of fellowship with God, with Yahweh, where we share in all that is his. We share in his love, receiving grace and every mercy, and then hand on that to others. We share in his kindness, his patience, his tender heart. In Christ, through him, we have entrance into a life that is filled with affection for others and the desire for their well-being, even for our enemies. This is the abundant life, a life filled with the things of God, rooted in Christ and breathing with his Spirit. My friends, because Christ died to take away sin and is risen to give righteousness, he is your good shepherd who will lead you from death to life. So hear him, follow him, and receive his gifts. For Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.